welcome everybody. This is Roger Bauer, and I'm joined today by a very special guest, and we've got a lot of search engine optimization material to cover. I'm joined today by Jennifer Horowitz, who is the marketing director for Ecom Buffet, and Jennifer has a very diverse background, including child care management, social work, product development, marketing, and web design. She's also been involved in the search engine optimization field for over 10 years. She draws on a lot of skills from various positions, as well as her education and experience in marketing. Jennifer, how you doing?
Good. How are you doing, Roger?
Fantastic. Now, we were talking before we got started here that you're a big Syracuse fan, and I'm in Louisville, so we're Big East brethren, so to speak. All right, so I've got probably 15, 16 questions from people all over the country. And what do you say we just dive into some of these and see how many we can get through?
That's great. Go for
it. All right. The first one comes from Stephanie in Boston, and she wants to know, how does the rise of social media optimization affect small businesses online?
That's an excellent question, and this phone conversation, this interview that we're having right now, is actually an illustration of it. It creates opportunity, and the opportunity for Roger and I to connect and to create some great information that we can share with and educate other people came out of Twitter. We've exchanged conversations on Twitter, specifically talking about Syracuse and other sporting things, as I recall. And it creates opportunity to connect with people, to bond with people in a way that we probably haven't done in the past. We've never seen marketing like this in the past. I think social media opens the playing field because a lot of big companies, big brands with big budgets tend to own some other areas of marketing just because they have more dollars and manpower to do so. And it's not the case with social media. One single individual has the power to reach, you know, anywhere from hundreds of thousands to millions of people on Twitter, depending how much, or other social media sites, depending how much effort they put into it. So I think that it creates opportunity. It opens up the playing field. It gives you a competitive advantage that you never had before. Helps establish credibility. It helps share your expertise. It gives you a way to do a whole lot of different promotion, whether it's promoting content, whether it's promoting sales and special offers, driving traffic to your website, sharing video, sharing pictures, helping. I'm currently starting a Twitter campaign to help a nonprofit. They work with disadvantaged youth here in Southern California, and the initial response has been amazing. So there's just so many things that you can do and so many doors that are opened by just having an easy vehicle to communicate and connect with large numbers of people. So I think it's exciting. I think it's going to continue to evolve and change. And I think that the more creative people are, the more they're going to get out of it. Now, don't let that scare you. If you're not somebody who comes up with creative ad campaigns or things like that, just get on there and be real and share what you have to say and share what you know, and you'll still build a following. But definitely the people that have been creative and have had some fun with it have had some pretty big payoffs.
Right. And I would add to that, I agree with everything you said, and would add that we come from a SEO background and have been doing SEO for years upon years. And the thing that I always tell small business owners when they ask me about SEO to start with, because that seems to be a sexy thing to a lot of people, is, hey, how do I get to be number one on Google, is that search engines really don't care how big your ad budget is, how much revenue you generated, who your CEO is, where you're located. They just want to return the most relevant search results. And a lot of times when somebody does a search query, the most relevant search results come from a social media type site. I mean, you'll see video with universal search, you'll see video, sometimes you'll see Facebook entries where it might be a status update, or you might have your video posted on Facebook. So social media really can level the playing field but it can also dovetail into a search engine optimization campaign very nicely. So everything you said to where it's going to evolve, and we're not even close to scratching the surface with a lot of this social media stuff. And I don't know if social media optimization is the proper term, because it's marketing more or less. But it can really provide a benefit to small businesses, because you don't need an enormous budget to compete with social media and search engine optimization, unlike pay-per-click and paid advertising campaigns.
Definitely. And, you know, I'm kind of in Twitter land right now, because I've spent most of my morning talking about Twitter, working on various Twitter things. So I got to catch myself and remember that there is so much more to social media than Twitter, and there's definitely the impact on search. You know, a lot of the social media sites, social bookmarking sites, are good ways to get links into your website, and that helps boost with the SEO. With the advent of real-time search, and we don't know where that's going to go and if it's going to stay or if it's going to go, but right now it exists, and one of the ways to get into real-time search is Twitter. So one of the ways to get on the homepage of Google, another opportunity, is through Twitter, through blogging. The other thing is another aspect of social media, which is really just user-generated content. There's what I refer to as old-school user-generated content, which is something that's been around for a long time, and that's forums. Forums have been around and been popular for a long time. Forums that are just structured well and optimized well provide great user-generated content that come up great in the search engines. And wikis, everybody knows how popular Wikipedia is. There are a lot of wiki tools out there that allow you to build user-generated content on your site that help engage visitors and also boost search rankings. So when you're looking at all of those different areas of social media, it just gets even more exciting and creates even more opportunity.
Yeah, I think we could probably go on for hours on social media, because it's some other questions that I get a lot, and this isn't in our list of questions. I'm going off the cuff here a little bit, but a lot of people say, you know, why would I want to get involved in social media? And what you just said is it creates a lot of user-generated content, but it gives your customers a voice. I mean, a lot of people have said to me, you know, I just don't have the time to get involved in this, or I just don't see the benefit for driving top-line revenues and bottom-line profits. Well, you've got a really good opportunity through social media and in enabling little widgets on your website and creating forums for your business to listen to your customers. We didn't have this for, you know, years upon years. I mean, think about to the old days where the generations that our parents and grandparents grew up in, how did they communicate with one another? Typically, the telephone. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of this. You can just go hop on a website and communicate with somebody in Australia, for instance. Real time. You can do that now. It's very easy. It's cost effective. And you can learn things from people all over the world. We haven't had these opportunities before. It's new, it's exciting, and it presents a lot of opportunities to businesses, both small and large, to really get to know one another, whereas before, relationships were between customers and companies tended to be a little more cold, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing is, you know, that question, why should I participate in social media? My biggest response is because it exists, because it's happening. The conversation is happening, whether you join the conversation or not.
Right.
And frankly, you're losing business and being left out in the cold if you don't join the conversation.
Right. And that's something else that I tell a lot of business owners is just what you said is, this conversation is going to go on whether you're involved or not, so I would much rather be involved, especially if it has something to do with my company or the industry I'm in or maybe a competitor. I'd at least like to know what people are saying. I mean, I can at least listen and learn something from it, whereas if you have that attitude, if I ignore it, it'll go away. I mean, I say, look, Mike Leach is a prime example talking about sports of somebody who's poo-pooing social media, and I've heard Rick Pitino do the same thing to where, you know, I don't do that Facebook thing or Twitter thing or whatever. Well, guess what? I mean, a lot of recruits these days are involved in social media. A lot of agents and scouts and all of that, they're involved in social media. So it's not just one industry specific. It's across the board. And the conversation is going to happen whether you want to get in it or not. So to me, it just seems more logical to get involved in the conversation as opposed to letting people talk about you behind your back. I mean, at least you can know what they're saying this way.
Definitely.
All right. So let's get another question in here because, like I say, I think we could go on for hours about social media. Sabrina from Minneapolis asks, what do you recommend as SEO best practices right now for people looking to rank high in the search engines?
That's a great question. And I want to start by acknowledging one little part of that phrase, two little words, right now. And my response is going to be, and I will qualify this to say with everything, there's always exceptions, but my general response is there are some SEO strategies and tactics that are of the right now variety. They're hot and people try them out, and typically they fade over time. Then there is what we call sort of the evergreen, everlasting, not trendy, not trying to manipulate the engines, just providing really great content on a really great site that's really easy for the search engines to spider and getting a lot of people to link to that content by spreading it virally. And that's kind of evergreen. None of that is ever going to go out of style. So the first thing I want to focus on is when evaluating SEO strategies and techniques, things that you're hearing, be careful to jump on the bandwagon of what's hot right now. There are specific things, like years ago there was a program called Traffic Equalizer, created Traffic Equalizer pages, and everybody thought they were great. They left what was called a footprint, something that is detectable for the search engines to say, hey, all of these people are using this program. It's got this common footprint, and this program is designed to manipulate the engines. And all of the sites that were using that had a problem. And that was a trendy of the moment thing that got people into trouble. So I'm not saying new things are never going to come up that are viable, but I'm just saying be real careful. And when you think of what the search engines want to deliver a clean site that loads quickly, that's easy to use, that is relevant and targeted to the search query of the visitor. So by feeding them content and by feeding them a fast-loading site and by showing them that other people like your site because they're linking to it, you're giving them exactly what they're looking for. You're handing it to them on a silver platter. And focusing on doing that is my recommendation. It's the best way to go. Focus on building the content on your site aggressively, but also in a natural way. If you suddenly throw up 300 pages on your site, that might be a red flag to Google. It's not natural site growth. If you suddenly start having 500 links to your site overnight from low-quality sources, that's another red flag. So think about how you would naturally go about showing Google that your site is good and relevant to the keyword phrases that you think are good for your business. And I have an analogy that I like to use to really sort of simplify and dumb down search engines and their algorithm. We know that Google's got over 200 factors in their algorithm. Think of Google like your teacher, your kindergarten teacher, your first grade teacher, giving out a gold star for everything you do well. So they've got their clipboard and they say, okay, one of the things we're looking at nowadays is load time of the site. You could earn 3 possible gold stars for a really quick load time, and your site's okay, so we're going to give you 1 out of 3 stars. And then we're going to look at how relevant is the keyword to the page and assign some gold stars for that. They work their way through the list, and the site with the most gold stars ranks on top and for that particular keyword. And they do this for each of the keyword phrases. Because there are so many different ways to earn gold stars, there are a lot of different ways that you can go about optimization. You'll hear some companies focus on linking. You'll hear some companies focus on content. You'll hear some companies focus on both, which, by the way, is what I think you should do. So what you really want to do is just look at those core things and go through your site and say, where am I lacking some gold stars that I could pick up some gold stars in that area? Another tip is check out your competitors. Check out what they're doing. How many incoming links do they have? How many content pages do they have related to specific keyword phrases? And look at trying to consistently and aggressively beat them out. And the other thing I'll say is stay current. find a source you can trust, my blog, Roger's blog, find places where you can get information that you can trust and stay current, because, you know, even if you're following a so-called evergreen tactic, the search engines do make changes over time, and you could be focusing on something that is no longer relevant and wasting your efforts. So that's really important also.
Right. And something that I point to people, I think all of those are really good tips, is some people will fall in love with a certain tactic, like you say, and it's the flavor of the month. Like, we know that video will rank pretty well pretty quickly, but the video isn't going to stay there forever. And some people might just focus on doing video for a couple months. They'll get some quick search engine rankings. They might get the video up to number one, number two for a little while. And that's what they focus on. Instead of, you know, continuing to create content on their core sites, they fall in love with one particular strategy. And you need to make sure that you are constantly developing your site in the background. Yeah, you can use video. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with taking advantage of document sharing sites like Scribd or DocsDoc or even SlideShare. Those are great to get you some instant exposure, but don't do those in spite of developing your own site. I mean, it's good for getting the short-term exposure, and we do that for businesses as well. Let's say, okay, we know it's going to take 3 to 6 months to get you into the top 10 for your chosen keyword phrase. We can do some things short-term while we're working on your site in the background and getting it the proper number of links and everything else. We can do some short-term strategies to get you the visibility, but don't think that this is in lieu of the overall optimization strategy or campaign. And I think that's, a lot of people are having problems with that, because they'll come back and say, well, you know, that hogwash about it takes 3 to 6 months to rank well and rank consistently and securely and all of that, which is using what you call the evergreen strategies, which I love, and those are the things that I don't want to say preach, but I encourage others to engage in, because they are going to stand the test of time. But a lot of people think that they see that little shortcut, and it's like, ooh, hey, I can just do video. I'll just do that forever. Video may not rank well forever. We don't know that. I mean, it's, yeah, YouTube's part of Google, and that's going to make it all nice, and it's a hot little thing for the moment, but we don't know if it's going to last forever. I mean, we don't know if that's going to be an evergreen type of thing. So I like to tell people, keep in mind that you can do some things for the short-term visibility, but don't lose sight of the long-term goal and the long-term strategy, and that's to get your core site or core sites into that top 10.
And I really love that you you and I make a great team, because it's sort of like we're just kind of going back and forth off each other's ideas. I love that you said that, because there's definitely an element of participating in marketing things that are hot right now, getting video and other things like that. And I think that comes back to something that goes on a lot, in a debate that goes on a lot in the industry, and that is what is search engine optimization versus search engine marketing, and what is online marketing versus search engine marketing. It's also interconnected and interrelated and builds on top of each other. And while optimization, getting your site to come up on the top of the search engines, should be the foundation, because that's just kind of a core basic way of driving traffic, there are other areas of marketing that you should participate in, and it's important not to neglect one or the other. It shouldn't be SEO or videos, or SEO or blogging, SEO or social media. If your goal is to aggressively grow your business, it should be all of the above in an integrated strategy that makes them build on top of each other.
Right. And that's one of the things that I guess – personally, I've had trouble being branded as just an SEO guy. And I mean, even some of my friends say, oh, you do that search engine stuff. Well, no, I actually do what you just described. I do search engine marketing. I do internet marketing. I do regular, traditional, direct response marketing. And when I hear somebody say that, I can tell by the reaction that they see from my reaction, because I kind of cringe my nose and say, don't label me as just an SEO guy, because there's a lot more to it. And it's, I mean, what I started out doing 5-6 years ago for SEO, I don't do as much of that stuff today as I did back then, so it's evolved. and it's taken on a life of its own with video, with document sharing, with podcast, with teleseminars, with all of these other things that are promoting a business. And that's more internet marketing as opposed to just SEO. I mean, you can do both. And I agree with what you said is people should take advantage of everything that's available to them through the internet, because visibility is visibility. And that's what most businesses want and they crave. And the most frequent response that I get from prospects and clients, and you probably get the same thing, Jennifer, is, my products and services are excellent. They're very good, just not enough people know about them. Well, that's what my primary goal is for my clients, is to help them get that visibility that they need to expose their good products and services to others that don't know a thing about them.
Definitely. And, it's funny because I think people, a lot of people that I talk to, they'll say, I want top rankings. And I say, that's great, but let's break it down a bit further. You don't want a pretty ranking report that has got lots of numbers. You want to grow your business. You want to increase your leads. You want to increase your sales. So, yes, top rankings is a piece of that, but I think we need to often remind business owners, because they hear these buzzwords, and they're experts in building their business. They might not be experts in promoting their sites online. So, I definitely don't mean as an insult. I think it's important to help educate people, because they hear these buzzwords and they say, okay, I want social media on my site, or I want optimization on my site. And if
right.
you know, what you really want is you want to grow your business through the tools available on the internet. So let's look at a strategy for how to best do that.
Right. I think that's an excellent point, because there's another side to that is, okay, so I can get you a front page Google listing. That's great. Is your business really prepared for that? I mean, a lot of people, they might come to me and say, it's like you just said, I want the number one ranking in Google for, let's say it's Montana real estate. Okay, let's say that you start getting a bunch of visitors from all over the state of Montana because you rank number one for Montana real estate. Can you realistically service the entire state of Montana today as your business is set up? Most of the times the answer to that is no. I can only service, a little portion of the state. So it's time to take a step back and go, okay, then why do you want to rank number one for Montana real estate? Because you see that gets the most searches every month? Great. Well, you're actually doing people a disservice if you rank number one for Montana real estate and you can only service, I don't even know what cities in Montana. I just picked that up out of the clear blue, because it's a vast kind of, spread out state. And there's not a lot of highways that connect it and things of that. But you're doing your customers a disservice if you rank number one for Montana real estate, and there are a lot of searches for that. They come to you for service and for help with maybe selling a house or buying a house or whatever, and you can't service them with the way your business is set up today. So you need to step back and look at your business from a strategic standpoint before you dive in and say, okay, show me how to get the number one ranking for Montana real estate. So that's another conversation that I think needs to happen between companies like ours, to where a lot of companies won't do that. They'll just hear, okay, I want to rank number one for Montana real estate. Okay, great. Let's go get you to rank number one for Montana real estate. And they don't ask the questions, is your business equipped right this moment to handle the sudden influx of business that you are likely to experience from ranking number one for whatever that keyword phrase is? So I think the strategic aspects need to be taken in, because, you can do some things to get that instant ranking, but your business needs to be able to handle that too.
Definitely. And I think what you just said triggered a thought in my mind that sort of relates to the question that started this whole discussion, which is, what are SEO best practices right now? And one of the SEO best practices right now is, it's going to sound funny, but it's to stop and think. SEO is about attention to detail. On-page optimization SEO is about attention to detail, and it's about having a strategy and a goal in mind. And I think we're all wanting action, wanting results, rightfully so, but we rush to the action without thinking about it and creating a strategy. And so one of the best practices you can do is stop and think of your goal, think of your strategy, and don't rush the keyword research process. The keyword research process is a foundation of your campaign. Getting the right keywords is the determining factor in your success, because even if you're able to get great rankings, if you haven't thought about it and picked the right keywords, you're not going to get the same benefit as if you had ranked well for the right keywords. And there's this story that I use. A few years ago, I was buying new dishes, and when I was writing this article, so my mind was in the mindset of dishes, dinner plates. And so this analogy that I come up with is related to dinner plates, and I haven't stopped using it since then. And people say to me, hey, do you get a kickback from Falstaff? Because you always use Falstaff in your example. And I say, no, I don't. It was just, it's an analogy I came up with, and it stuck. So I want to share that analogy with you, and I am going to give a little free plug for the company Falstaff here. I was trying to buy dishes, and I wanted to buy Falstaff dishes, and so I was doing some research, and I noticed when you research, say, dinner plates, that's pretty vague. You're looking to see what's out there. You're looking to see pricing. You're looking to see what companies. You're looking at patterns and designs. If you research Falstaff dinner plates, you're a little bit more focused. You're a little bit more targeted. You know that you want some dinner plates, but you know that you want what Falstaff has to offer. So you're a little bit further along in your thinking process. I wanted Ocean Breeze Falstaff dinner plates, and I Googled that. I was looking for the place that could give me the best price. I was much further along in the buying process because I knew what I wanted at that point, and I knew I wanted to buy those, and I was looking for the best price. A lot of people say to me, oh, but I want optimization for dinner plates. Look how much traffic is there for dinner plates.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's true, but what if they're doing a research project on dinner plates? What if they want to print out a picture to put on a gift certificate for dinner plates that they've already bought? You just don't know. The more targeted the phrase, the further along the person is in the buying process, the more they know what they want. And that's an important piece of knowledge to have because you want to mix up your keyword research, your keyword list. You want to have some keywords that are generic and that are catching people earlier in the process because the idea is your site should be able to compel and entice them to want to take action now. But you definitely want a core group of longer phrases where people are further along in the buying process. Maybe there's going to be a bit less traffic. There's going to be more target and convert, and that's ultimately what you're going for is, again, not a pretty ranking report, not even good-looking web stats. It's great if you have tons. Nobody's buying. You're not happy. So
right.
You've got to factor that in.
I think that's an excellent point, and I can relate that to recently I've been looking at different video cameras, and I didn't really have any idea. I just know I wanted it to be an HD video camera, so I'm looking at that. And it's the same thing you went through, Jennifer. I started out with HD video camera. Well, I mean, I'm going to get Sony. I'm going to get Canon. I'm going to get 50 different brands of JVC. I mean, on down the line, well, I ultimately decided, hey, the Canon line seems to intrigue me a little more. So then I start doing searches for Canon HD video camera. Well, then I go down the list of the different models, and then my next search might be a Canon HD. I'm picking out a number that I don't even know if that's because I did the search weeks ago, but like an M30 or something like that. So then I start getting into model numbers. And then when I start getting into model numbers, now I'm at the point to where how much is it going to cost? Now I'm comparing prices. Now I'm looking at a specific model that I know I'm ready to buy this specific camera, and I want to get the best deal on it. So I am then at a buying decision, whereas when I did the search for HD video camera, I didn't really know what I wanted. I had no clue. And that's what I think, just what you said, a lot of people get caught up in that, oh, well, there's 1.6 million searches per month for that, so I want to rank well for it. Great. Okay. So you get a lot of traffic to your site. You're getting, let's say, out of the 1.6 million searches, you get a million of them show up at your site, but you don't have anything to offer them that is going to further them along in the buying process. The traffic's just for traffic's sake. It's nice, but you're not going to ring the register at the end of the day. So I think what you just pointed out, Jennifer, is an excellent point. And same thing with your dishes, same thing with me with the video camera. If you think like your customer and the buying process that they go through, and you can capitalize when somebody does a search for a specific brand and a specific model, maybe even a specific color, the more specific you get, the closer they are to making a purchase decision, and that's when you want them anyway. It's not, oh, I just want the traffic. I mean, the traffic doesn't do you any good. What does you good is when somebody clicks on that Buy It Now button, or when they get out their credit card and say, all right, I'm going to buy the Canon M30 HD video camera today, and I'm going to buy the silver one. Boom. That's where you want to be. That's where you want to capture visitors. And I can say through my little HD camera, yeah, there's the usual suspects. There's Best Buy. There's, you know, even Walmart. There's, you know, on down the line, there's little obscure video places. There's Amazon. But then there's even specific ones that are located. I've never heard of some of these companies before, but they got a nice price on the HD camera, so I'm likely to do business with them because it's like, okay, I looked at Amazon, and the camera cost, let's pick out $729, whereas Bob's Video Shop in New York has it for $679 plus free shipping. Okay, I'll go look at the little obscure video shop in New York, because I can get a better deal on it. At the end of the day, it's the same product. It's still made by Canon. It's the right model. It's the right everything else I'm looking for. So now I'm ready to buy. So I think that's an excellent point that you make, and I hope that, I know we've steered way off the best practices of SEO, but I think that people, if they just stop and think like a customer as opposed to thinking, oh, if I can just, it's a numbers game that if I can get a million visitors to my site, you know, somebody's going to buy something. Well, not necessarily. I mean, they might just be doing their research at the beginning, and that ties into, I ranked very well for business consulting for a while, and it's the same analogy that people that do a search for business consulting are probably looking to see what type of services are out there. What type of services should I be looking for? Do I really want a marketing consultant? Do I want an internet marketing consultant? Do I want an internet marketing search engine consultant? I mean, it goes on down the line, and just getting visitors to my site for business consulting did not increase revenue because it was tire kickers. It was people that were just browsing. They were doing research, so they weren't in a buying mode. So that's something that hits home for me, and as you can tell, I went off on a deep tangent on it, so that's I hope that people get some good out of that, because it's a hard lesson to learn. And I mean, it's people get caught up in the sexy traffic numbers and they think, oh man, just imagine I rank number one for that. Get out of that thinking. That's a best practice, and Jennifer, you're dead on with that, and I hope that, you know, Sabrina, thanks for the question. That's you really set off a tailspin there, but hopefully it's a good tailspin. All right, so the next question is from Susan in Jersey City, and she wants to know, what would you tell someone who is thinking of entering a career in search engine marketing or SEO? Is there an ideal candidate?
So that's a great question. What I would tell them is welcome to the industry. It's for the most part a great group of people. And if you ever go to any of the SEO conferences, you know it's a great group of people that like to have a lot of fun. And as far as is there an ideal candidate, I do think that there are some personality traits that make somebody better at SEO than others. I think it's somebody who can pay attention to detail, somebody that's persistent, somebody that can multitask and manage a lot of different things at once, and definitely somebody who both is willing to and likes to read and stay current and attend conferences and do testing and seeing what works and trial and error. If you don't have patience, probably not the job for you.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. And the detail, attention to detail and the persistence is definitely something. I can tend to be a very persistent sort, and this isn't about me, but it's something I think that people can learn from. is, especially, you know, Susan asked the question about that, especially because I'm not a very patient person. So for me to do an ongoing SEO campaign, I can outline the strategy. I know all of the details of everything you need to do. I can show you how to do all of that stuff. And I've told clients this before. They're like, well, I want you to do my SEO. And I'm like, well, I'll just tell you up front, I can outline the strategy. I can tell you what keywords to focus on, and I can have all the details outlined, but you don't want me doing it on a day-to-day basis. You want somebody else who is okay with being meticulous about certain things, because I am just not patient enough to to do that. So I can tell you, even though I know SEO inside and out, as far as doing it on a day-to-day basis, you're better off having somebody like me outline your strategy and then turn it over to somebody else who can do the fulfillment type stuff and the ongoing link building and the creating content and some of the meticulous details. So I can tell you, even if you are interested in getting into the SEO field, you may find yourself down the road where some of the details may bore you, kind of like it does me. I mean, I know all the intricate details of it, but as far as doing it day in, day out, maybe not so much. So there's,
you know,
go ahead.
That's exactly the kind of thing that my husband yells at me for, always interrupting people. the other thing, I just got so much to say, and I love this topic. The other thing is, what is SEO? SEO is a lot of things. It's all-encompassing. There's on-page optimization, actually cleaning up code and making it search engine friendly. There's search engine copywriting. There's link building. There's the social media aspect. So the other thing, when you ask the question, who is an ideal candidate for SEO, I think it depends what area of search engine optimization you're looking to get into. And some people have the skills to do all of the above in all of the areas. Mostly I find people kind of work with a team, whether they're all within a company or whether it's sort of a partnership of people that have different skills and they get together and divide up the work for clients amongst each other. But I think that's something that maybe wasn't as true in the past, because search engine optimization was a lot more black and white in the past, and it was a lot simpler with less components.
Right, and I think that's what you just said describes me to a T, is I can tell people exactly what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and all of that, but as far as actually going and doing it, that's better for other people, because that's just me knowing who I am, my strengths, and everything else, and that's, I think that's mainly what Susan, I think she's trying to get out of it. I hope that's what she's trying to get out of it, is there's many different parts of SEO that you can be involved in, and you can be the overseer. You can be the project manager. You don't have to do the, as I used to say when I was doing tech support, you don't have to turn the bolts and the screws. But you can tell people, I need 17 bolts and 13 screws, and they need to go into this particular object. And you need to turn them, you know, 15 times or whatever. Even though you're not going to turn them the 15 times, you can tell people what to do. So hopefully we answered Susan's question. Cliff from New York wants to know, we may have talked about this a little bit already, what do you think the most important SEO trends will be in the coming 12 months?
Well, the search engines, it all comes back to, the interesting thing is whatever new stuff evolves and changes, it all comes back to the same thing. The search engines have a goal of delivering the most relevant information as quickly as possible to site visitors when they come to their engine and search. And one of the things that Google and Bing and Yahoo are looking at is offering real-time search, offering universal search, personalized search, faster search results. That is becoming a component at the load time of your site, so that when somebody clicks, they've done a search query, Google's delivered the results really quickly, they click on your site, and then it takes forever for your site to load. That's a problem. So it's really all coming back to them wanting to be able to scour the web and deliver the best possible results, whether they happen to be a video, a product listing, a web page, a blog, a tweet. And so I think the trends are going to be around all of these different ways of putting content out there, and the search engines themselves are going to be playing with the best way to organize that content, index it, and deliver it So the best thing you can do as a site owner is participate in all of these areas. Build your content, build your links, build your exposure, and that's how you're going to sort of stay in front of the trends. Personalization is really a big thing right now. Even a month ago, real-time search, when it was just sort of came out, was a big thing. And I think that these things are going to continue to evolve and change until they sort of perfect it and find a way that really, really improves the searcher's experience.
And I think that ties into the next question. I think this is a really cool question. It comes from Allison in Concord, California. She says, SEO reacts to search engines and search engines react to SEO. Isn't the practice of SEO always self-defeating?
That is such a great question. And, you know, I have quite a few responses to that. First of all, we collectively, search engine optimizers, online marketers, website owners, typically take a good thing and turn it bad. We kill it. And I wrote an article, a couple years ago, and it's still true, talking about different strategies that have come and gone. And what happened is as soon as there's a new strategy, a new way to get rankings, to get Google's attention, we use and then abuse it, and the search engines then say, okay, you've manipulated this, and you've taken what was supposed to be a good thing and manipulated it. For example, link exchanges, buying links,
right.
Link networks. Linking was supposed to be a good thing, and people find a way to manipulate it, and then the search engines have to respond, and then we sort of kill what could have been a great strategy if we didn't overuse and abuse it. So I think that definitely we do defeat ourselves, and I'm using we broadly because obviously ethical SEO companies try not to do that, but it just kind of happens. And so I think it comes back to, I'm going to sing the same old song, which is evergreen. If you're going to deliver content and you're going to obtain high-quality links that are not because you're a link network or a link exchange, but because you've got something so good people just can't help but to link to it, then no, it's not self-defeating. It's constant. It's what the search engines look for. I think it's when you get into the trendy stuff and the manipulation that we make changes, and then the search engines make changes, and then we have to make more changes. So, just keep singing that song, evergreen, and keep it natural. And I think you're actually going to be okay.
Yeah, and I would add to that, I agree with what you said. It's, the days of old back in, way back in the Mesozoic era of 1997, 98, when search engines were still relatively new to the game, it was very easy to manipulate them, just go out and spam the keyword tag. Well, that got taken away. Then it was, okay, go put a description tag on your site that uses the same keyword over, so they spam that. That got taken away. Then it became, oh, I'll add this neat little abstract tag. That'll really help your search engine ranking. That got taken away. So, it's when people do go out and abuse it, it's like anything else. It's like policemen have these radar guns, so they can see how fast you're going. Well, they evolve into becoming, they got a laser gun, or they got some special band that they operate on. Well, what happens? Radar detector goes out, and we now know that they're using laser guns, so we'll make something that'll detect the laser gun. So then the police go back and they get their the next step in their radar gun. Well, the radar detector comes. It's the same concept. They make a move, we make a move. They make a move, we make a move, and it's a constant adjustment. It's a fun game. If you really look at it, because it evolves and it forces you to stay on your toes. And you mentioned it earlier, Jennifer, stay up on it. You've got to be, if you're going to be successful at this stuff, you've got to constantly research, constantly look at what other people are doing, figure out what's working, what isn't. And by all means, if you can avoid abusing something, please do that, because then you're doing the entire industry a favor. But there's always going to be people out there that abuse the things and they make them obsolete and they take away some of our fun little tools, which means we've got to go back to doing the core stuff, the evergreen stuff that you talk about. And natural links, they're not going to go out of style because that's how search engines rank a lot of these sites. You create quality content, people notice it. Well, they can't help but to rank that well. I mean, if you've got people going to your site looking at your content over and over and they're telling their friends, whether it's through Twitter or Facebook or on their own blog or even a link on their website, hey, go check out this piece of content that Jennifer wrote, search engines are going to see that and they're going to say, hey, this is quality content. So, yes, we do shoot ourselves in the foot a lot. I would like to think that the unethical ones are the ones that have the biggest gun and shoot the biggest hole in the foot, but that does affect all of us out there that do this stuff by the book, or at least attempt to do this stuff by the book. So, yeah, we do kind of defeat ourselves, but then again, we're always evolving just like search engines, so it's the cat and mouse game. All right, so let's, let me see. We just talked about that one. Milt from Dallas wanted to know, talk about some of the SEO techniques that are currently obsolete. We just talked on some of that. And here's a good one. Doris from Maryland Heights, Missouri asks, what do you believe is the biggest myth in SEO and why?
That's a great one. And there are so many myths, so it's so hard to pick. But I'm going to say something that is controversial and that you might disagree with me and that might not make me popular, but I'm going to say it anyway. I think the biggest myth is links are all that matters. Now, don't misunderstand
me.
I'm not saying links aren't important. Links are important. But I get phone calls, you know, I need you to get me 500 links in the next 2 weeks, and I know links are all the search engines care about. And I just say, whoa, let's back up and talk about this for a minute. I don't believe that that's true. And the biggest way that the search engines change their algorithm is according to links, what they do and don't value as far as linking. You'll notice Google might be recognizing some number of links and Yahoo recognizes a different number because they have different filters. And they're not going to necessarily credit you for every link you have. And the biggest way that they change their algorithm, like I said, is how they value links. So if you're relying solely on links, then you are going to see more fluctuation because you're going to be impacted by the algorithm shift. And a perfect example of why relying solely on links is not always good for the search engines themselves is the Adobe analogy. I don't know, most people know this, but if you search for the phrase click here,
right,
what's going to come up is Adobe Acrobat, because most often people say if you don't have, when they post a PDF on their site, they say if you don't have Adobe, click here, and they link to Adobe. And so they have just claimed the top ranking of the phrase click here. Click here has nothing to do with them. And so it really doesn't make sense that that's delivered as the main search result. Another example that I give is, you know, just to sort of stay in current times, let's say I had a page on my website that said donate to the Haiti Relief Fund. And I had a lot of links because it was really popular on Twitter and people were passing it around. And I built up a ton of links. And if somebody searched for Haiti, my site came up because of all of those links coming into that one page. My site has nothing to do with Haiti other than that one page. That wouldn't be a site that would be worthy of coming up. Yet when only links are factored in, which does occasionally happen, you tend to get results that aren't as relevant. And then the search engines realize that and they alter things. And so I think what it comes down to is the search engines want to deliver a site that's got good quality content. Whether that content is video or audio or written, it doesn't matter. They want to deliver a site that's got good quality content. So to value links over that content, to me, is a mistake. I think links have to be part of the strategy, but I just want to bang my head against the wall when I hear that people only care about links because they believe that Google only cares about links.
Right, and to tie into that, and I agree with what you're saying, is take the analogy you could have 500 page one or page rank of one links pointing to your site, or you can have 100 page rank five sites pointing to your site, linking to your site. I'd much rather have the 100 page rank of five because those are already deemed more valuable to Google than the 500 PageRank 1. I don't know if that might confuse people in terms of PageRank, but that's Google's little proprietary algorithm for determining a page's value and all of that. But people get caught up in just the sheer number of links. Well, you can go out and get 1,000 trashy links, and that may actually hurt your search ranking because you're just focused on links. Whereas if you focus on quality links, you don't need as many because Google's already determined those sites as more valuable. So if they essentially give you a vote by saying, hey, this is a quality site, well, who do you think they're going to rank better? And the other thing with that is if you get 1,000 links from God knows where, if you get links from shady neighborhoods, as they're called or considered online, or a site that Google has banned or something of that nature, well, your link really isn't worth anything. So just focusing on the sheer number of links is a bad strategy from the very beginning because you're going to get yourself into some bad pickles, as I like to say, or some hairy situations because you're focused on a number as opposed, you're focused on quantity as opposed to the quality.
Definitely. And, you know, it's funny, the reason I gave the disclaimer that you may or may not agree and that I may be unpopular is because there seems to be this definite debate of links versus content, and people seem to be definitely in one camp or another. I think that's starting to change, but my thinking is why? Why pitch your tent in one camp when you can be in both and get the benefit of both sides? And as with everything, whether it's content or links, it is always, always, always quality, you know, over quantity.
Mm-hmm.
A few good pages better than a ton of crappy pages. A few good links are better than a ton of crappy links. So, yeah, I would say there are tons of other myths. We should have a whole other call just on SEO.
Yeah, we could do the top 10 myths of SEO and go over that. I think that's a really good idea. In fact, we'll talk about that when we're done here because I like that idea because that's definitely one that I get the same question on quite a bit, and my answer is usually that same, I don't want to say it's a canned answer, but that's my philosophy. I agree with yours totally in that, you know, you get focused on this number, and I tell people, you know, experience has shown and my client sites have tended to stand the test of time and rank well over time because I'm not going to focus strictly on going out and getting you 1,000 links. I'm not going to focus on just that one number because, like you say, when the search engines change, guess what? You could go from number one to number 150. So you completely vanish from the universe, more or less, because nobody's going to get down to page 150 or even to ranking 150 in normal circumstances. So if you put all your eggs in one basket, you're just asking for a lot of stress, a lot of headache, and a lot of fluctuation, which is, that's a client's nightmare. And I wouldn't want to put them through that, so that's usually what I tell them. And when they do call in a panic because they fall from number one to number four, I generally tell them, let's be patient, let's see what happens. I think what's going to happen is, and it's proven almost every time, I think when the dust settles, you're going to go back up to where you were because everything we've done has been white hat, and we're playing by their rules. So they'll reward us in time. You might be number four for a couple weeks. Okay, we'll live with it. If you're still number four in 2 months, okay, we'll come back and take a look and devise another strategy. But almost every time that has happened, they've returned to number one, number two, whatever it was they were before because we're not focused on that. Let's go out and get a bunch of 5,000 spammy links or whatever. Anyway, that's a good myth, and I like the idea of doing more calls on myths. So let's take one more question. Ah, this is a good one, and it ties into something we talked about earlier with strategy. Lillian from White Pine, Michigan, wants to know, what are the greatest disadvantages you see for small businesses marketing itself online? That's about a million-dollar question right there.
It is.
Like that.
It's another great question. And, you know, I guess to summarize, it's growing your business online isn't hard, but it takes time and effort, and it also takes money. And actually, I should be clear. It either, in most cases, it takes money or time. You know, you put in the effort and you do the work and you learn, or you hire somebody to do it. In some cases, it takes both because there's just no way you can do everything. You have to outsource. And money and time are something that is often limited for small businesses. You know, you don't usually have much of either. So that's a challenge. It's a real challenge. But it's a challenge that can be overcome because there are a lot of tools and there are a lot of companies out there and a lot of ways and things that, you know, if you want it bad enough, you can make it happen, and it happens every single day. We see small, super small businesses, little one-man shops even making a go of it. It really is a disadvantage, but an advantage of being a small business is you don't have the red tape of a big corporation. You don't have to go through legal, and you don't have to go through management, and you don't have to weigh every pro and con of every decision. You can get out there and take action, because I'll take incorrect action over no action any single day of the week. You try something, you didn't get it quite right, you go back and you tweak it and try again, but at least you learned and at least you tried. And so I'd rather focus on, you know, there are some disadvantages, the lack of money and time often being them, but, you know, the freedom to be creative, the freedom to take action, the freedom to try things and fail and try again are all real strong advantages. You know, there's also some talk about do the big brands own the search engine results in the positions in the search engine results pages, and can you beat them out? And I've proven time and time again that you can beat them out. Not always and not all the time. Are you going to beat out Nike for the keyword phrase Nike? No. But Nike is not the only phrase. You know, running shoes, sports training shoes, buy training shoes online, men's training shoes, men's sports shoes, men's running shoes. There are all these other phrases where you do have the opportunity to play. And so I think it comes back to thinking and being creative and coming up with a strategy. You can say, well, I'm never going to beat Nike for the phrase running shoes, or I'm never going to beat Nike for the phrase Nike. So, I might as well pack up and go home, but that's not true. What you should do is revise your research and come up with a way that you can beat them, because there are enough words and there are enough searches that you can really tap into it and still make a go. So is it a bit harder for a small business? Yeah, but don't forget there's also advantages.
Right, and I got a couple things to add to that. I think that small businesses have a definite advantage because of what you just said. You can outfox the larger competitors because they are going to be focused on more of the broad stuff. You mentioned Nike, and that's funny that you mentioned that, because not too long ago I was doing a search for cross-training, I think it was cross-training athletic shoe or maybe just cross-training shoe, and they didn't come up even in the top 10, and I thought, wow, and Nike's not even in the top 10 for a cross-training shoe. And that is likely because, I didn't dig very deep, I just went to the first page, but that is likely because some smaller competitors did exactly what you said. They went out, did some keyword research, and figured out a way, hey, I can get onto page one for cross-training athletic shoe, as opposed to, yeah, you're never going to beat Nike out for Nike. That's the company name, that's the brand name, that's their domain name. That's another disadvantage you have of trying to outfox Nike on the word Nike, but you can outrank them for all of these other terms. I don't want to say easily, but you can compete toe-to-toe with them on that, whereas you're never going to compete with them for Nike. And another example I like to use is, for a while I ranked number 3 for business consulting. Number 4 for quite a bit of that time was IBM. Now, somebody doing a search for business consulting sees SMBConsultingInc.com, and then below that they see IBM. Well, how did that happen? I don't have one millionth of the budget that IBM has. I wish I did, but I don't. I don't have 1 billionth of the revenue IBM has. Wish I did, but I don't. But I can compete with IBM online. So that's a huge advantage for small businesses. Now, the disadvantage is, just like you said, Jennifer, you're either going to trade the time or the money. And most of the time, small businesses don't have the money, so they end up trying to do more stuff by themselves, or they take on more responsibilities thinking they're going to save that money. Then they end up spending 100 hours a week working on all of this stuff, and they drive themselves insane. And then if they don't get the instant results, well, then you're getting further and further behind, whereas if you just bit the bullet and paid somebody to help you with it, you save yourself some stress. Chances are you probably get, provided you find a trusted some person to help you, you save yourself the stress, probably get results in a faster fashion. It's not to say you're going to be ranking number one tomorrow because you go out and find a trusted source. Nobody's going to do that for you. But you know, consider at the beginning, yeah, you might be able to save a few pennies or nickels or whatever by doing it yourself, but in the long run, you're going to end up costing yourself a lot more. And it may not be monetarily, but it may be, you know, with your own health and stress and things of that nature. Trust me, I've gone down that path. You don't want to have an anxiety attack and end up in the hospital thinking you're having a heart attack, because I've gone down that path before, so take it from me. All right.
Thank you for experiencing that so nobody else has to.
Yeah, if I can do the public service of keeping other people from going through what I went through by trying to take on 100 hours of work and cramming it into 60 hours, then I will have done good for mankind, because it's just not a fun experience. And it's when you think that you're getting ready to kick the bucket, so to speak, and your whole world goes white for a while, and you're in a cold sweat, and you're super gray as a ghost, and your friends are looking at you like, what the hell's going on? And you're thinking, uh-oh, this is it. No, I would not wish that upon anyone. So if you get nothing else out of this entire session today, take that with you.
That's
take
great.
It from me.
Well,
all right.
Wise words. Now, I know we've been chatting for a long time, and I just love the fact that people are sitting here listening, and I am making the assumption that they're still listening and not that they've wandered away. So I just want to say one more thing along those lines, and that is that I have a quiz that I've developed. It's real simple. It's nothing high tech. It's just some questions that you need to honestly ask yourself to determine if you're meant to handle your own SEO, because some people are and some people aren't. And I think it's really an important assessment for people to take, because you're fooling yourself and you're not saving money, and you definitely just touched on this and made some key points. But I think a lot of people don't know how to truly evaluate. We all pretty much believe we can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, some simple things like, can you work in basic HTML? Do you have the time? And if you say yes, you have the time, do you have a plan in place to start within the next 2 weeks at the most? Because if you don't, you're never going to get to it. And various other questions that really help people take an honest look at, should they be trying to do their own optimization or not? So if anybody wants access to that quiz, you know, it's not promotional, it's not salesy, you're no obligation to hire me. It's just an honest assessment for you to take a look and see. It is available off my blog and my website, and you can also just shoot me an email. I've gotten some good feedback, and people have said, wow, you've given me some things to think about that I never thought about before. And a lot of those people never ended up hiring me, but that's okay, because I still helped them, and
mm-hmm.
they still made a good decision. So just
right.
wanted to throw that out there.
Well, tell them how they get that. That was going to be my next question anyway, is tell them how they can find out more about you. Tell them how they can find this quiz, and how do they learn more about you?
All right. So my website is ecombuffet.com, and I can't tell you how many phone calls I get asking me to cater. People think that we're truly a buffet, and I say, I'd be happy to. I'm not the greatest cook, but sure, I'll show up when and where. We came up with the name over 10 years ago when we were thinking sort of a buffet of e-commerce services. People can pick and choose what they're looking for. So that's the history behind the name. So Ecom Buffet, my email address is jennifer@ecombuffet.com. I welcome questions. I try to answer as many questions as I can. If not in a direct response by email, then I post them on my blog and answer there. And then I just shoot you a quick email to the link to the answer on the blog. The quiz is, I hadn't even planned on blurting that out, so I don't have the URL, but what I'm going to do is make sure that I go link to it prominently on my blog, so if anybody checks it out, and you can get to my blog straight from my website, from Econ Buffet. You'll see a link that says SEO blog, and then you can access the quiz.
Fantastic. Jennifer, I really want to thank you for all of the good conversation and good information that we've shared with people, and we didn't even get to probably half of the questions, and I apologize to the people who sent in the questions. We may have to do another one of these calls so that way we can answer more of the questions, but tried to pick out the ones that really struck a chord and we could really expand upon our thoughts and experiences and everything else. Didn't really count on going into the whole diatribe about the panic attack, but if that helps people, then I am doing a service and I'm helping others out, so I'm okay with that. Anything else you want to add before we close it down?
No, I think we should just publicly commit to doing it again, because I think there's just a lot more to cover and it's a lot of fun, and I think we should just say there'll be at least another call coming in the near future, and if people have got even more questions and submit even more, we can just kind of keep chatting and sharing good information with people.
I have no problem committing to that, and in fact, we'll do it as soon as we shut it down. You and I will talk about ironing that out and go ahead for the record and say we're going to do another call.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. And for Jennifer Horowitz, this is Roger Bauer signing off. Thank you.